This is CliffCentral.com.
I'll actually start creating lyrics to this music.
Oh, yay. What a treat that will be for all of us.
Aren't you just looking forward to it? I think that's all this song is missing. Just me. And my high notes. Like a... Thanks. Thank you so much.
No, it's actually kind of, it's one of two things you're singing. It is both cute and malicious. Cute in that you think you can sing, and malicious in that we must hear.
I don't understand how you call it malicious when it's a privilege that you hear it.
Well, that's just it. Your thinking that makes it malicious because you're willingly springing it upon us.
Oh, wow.
Ben, I think this is the year I should also record a song properly. Like... a producer,
In life, do what you want. Create what you want.
Don't
let anything hold you back. Mm. But also don't always throw things out.
Wow.
Yes, this feels a bit like therapy. Well, anyway, good morning, Ben. And good morning, hey. Snazza. How are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you, Sia?
Oh, it's a Friday.
Yeah, first working Friday of the year, or first Friday of the year.
And I felt bad this morning, particularly as I was waking up and, you know, it's a bit tough. And I was like, oh, well, at least it's a Friday. And I thought, how are you actually so excited about a Friday when it's the first week and also we didn't get a full week? But it just feels like a Friday is warranted.
Yeah, look.
Regardless.
But see, particularly in opposition, and I don't mean to make our problems someone else, much like your singing, but we went from holiday to waking up at 4 o'clock. So, yes, I'll take my Friday with a side of chips and I'll enjoy it.
Now, I was trying, though, during the last couple of days of the holidays to get into the pattern of waking up early.
Okay. It's like, did you try that with school as well, like 2 years ago?
Well, you mean like 5 years ago? There's a difference. No, well, like, yeah.
Because it makes sense because you ease into it rather than just going from like partying to early.
Yeah. But then the New Year's Eve sort of just ruined my plans. And in any case, I couldn't wake up at 4. The earliest I think I woke up during the holidays was like 7 o'clock.
In the a.m.?
Yeah.
Which is still early for a holiday.
Yeah.
Still early for a holiday. But you guys wake up really early. So it's a bit different from the rest of South Africa.
And I can tell you never get used to it.
Yeah.
Right? I woke up early this morning and I was the first one here.
Well, you had to make up for yesterday, honey. So that is why.
I was the first one here. I was like, no, not after yesterday's situation.
So, okay, but right now it's fine because the sun's up. Try to do that when, like, the dead of winter, when it is both cold and dark. Cold. And yeah. you can imagine.
I always just tell myself, I'm like, you'll be back in bed by 9:30 if you want. That's what you can do. And I never do it in any case, because once you're up, you're up. But it's exciting. In any case, it's a Friday. Do you guys have any plans for the weekend?
Yeah, I'm starting my Friday very strong, playing golf with some of my best golfing friends. Okay. And then it's Friday, so it's like, well, it's the weekend. And then Saturday, we're doing a bri at my friend's house, or our friend's house, because, you know, couples stuff. And they just got a gas bar and they're making pina coladas. So, I mean, like, what else do you want in life, really?
So you and Daniela share a lot of friends.
No. We've kind of made friends together through our relationship. Or I have...
You have your friends. She has her friends. Then you also have couple friends. Look,
neither of us are very clicky people. So we have a cross-section of friends. So we have friends from a wide variety of backgrounds, interests, geographical locations, age.
Oh, wow. Look at you and with the demographics.
Yeah, it's how I think we like to do social things. But, you know, we just have this one couple that could become really good friends with because they're older than us. They have the same interest in kids that we do, as in zero.
Oh,
and they're just nice people. They're nice, interesting people who like to party and just good people.
Are those the friends you're going to this weekend?
Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, see the pina colada pair. That's exactly what you should call them.
I mean, how can you ever turn down an invite that is, we want to try our new Gaspari plus making pina coladas?
Okay, well, say yes to that. But I was like thinking about how interesting it is whether a lot of people will be out and about and partying this weekend. Because a large chunk of people are only just getting back into the city. Yeah. This weekend.
I doubt that this weekend is going to be one of those because it's first is January, so people don't have money.
Yeah.
People just came back from holiday, and they gotta have to get themselves back into the mode of work. Yeah. Students are not back, so they're coming back. I think the following week, so I doubt it's going to be one of those weekends.
Well, on that note of students, I just feel like every person and family who lives in my complex got this memo to not go out and visit elsewhere, and instead bring all their family to the complex. So we have now like 30,000 kids who are running around the complex and who are screaming and playing.
That's irresponsible.
Look, and I don't want to sound like a kid hater. Go ahead and, you know, your kids are amazing and it's all fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have had a long day, it's the last thing you want is to drive into your complex and they're just kids everywhere, all over. And you're like, okay, I think I might just have to run at least one of you down for y'all to get the message to just leave me alone. And they do like it seems they try their best to find and do the most annoying things. So my bedroom window is near a little courtyard situation. And last night there was this group of kids who was just having a whale of a time bouncing a ball against one of the courtyard walls. Ugh. And so all I could hear was screech and ball hitting the wall, and a screech and a laugh and a ball hitting the wall. I was like, I was that grumpy old man you see in movies just looking out the window like just...
I think that's why I'm excited of that I moved to Pretoria, because I had the same situation in Midrand, because it's a complex, a family safe complex. Mm. And you're like, it's just the holidays.
Yeah.
It was every weekend there. I was like, I'm not a kids person. I really don't like kids.
And I don't mind them. That's interesting.
You don't mind them. I don't like them. Yeah. So it's so horrible because I'm like, oh, kids. There's so many of them. So so many of them running around.
Kid snobs, really. It's just like,
no, we just.
I'm an animal lover.
Exactly. We are just particular people, and we somehow find each other in life. So yeah. I'm okay with it. I'm tired. I'm never going to justify who I am.
Okay.
There's enough people who seem to like who I am. And I'm not saying that in a snobby sense. It's just, that's
so far,
my take.
You're on a good...
You're good right now.
You're on a good track.
I feel I add value to certain people's lives who I like, and that's good enough for me. So I'm going to run with that. See? I don't need to like all your children. Although that said, some of my friends have really nice kids, I've come to realize. Mm. And I get along with them.
I've come to realize.
But there's always a level. And because I leave after a couple of hours. If I had to stay, it'd be shitty.
Exactly. I think that's the nice thing about when you know you don't have any of your own. Like, if you take care of people's kids,
you're
like, I can return them when I'm done with them. Like, take them back.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's, kids, each to their own, I think, with the kids thing.
So, guys, I've got to tell you about the Black Mirror and spoilers, all that kind of stuff.
So, I
told you they got new episodes. I know, Snoz, you haven't even seen an episode yet, but you've got to... It's the freakiest thing I ever watched, probably on TV last night.
Okay.
I'll take a deep
breath. Where do you start?
Well, I start by saying, okay, if you haven't watched any of season 4 of Black Mirror just yet, maybe this isn't a good time to listen. Come back in like 5 minutes. Now, I won't tell you about last night's episode because it's episode 3. So even if you had started, there's a good chance you haven't watched that, and it'd be really dick of me to spoil it. But episode 2, it was just crazy. So episode 3 kind of... I didn't sleep well. Okay.
Stop.
That's how hectic it is. And I'll get to it in a future podcast. Episode 2 is so, so clever. There's this woman who loses her baby for, again, spoilers, I will tell you what happens in episode 2. I just can't, I need to talk to someone about this. This is the thing, I can't keep this inside anymore.
We'll listen, Ben.
So episode 2, this woman loses her child, a small infant, because we're talking about children, I thought this was apt. And the kid's running around the park and chases a cat, and this woman's talking to her friend, and she just vanishes. So she absolutely loses her mind for all of, I don't know, a minute while the kid's gone. So being an overprotective parent, she's a single mom, she goes to this like state-of-the-art kind of science center where they put a little chip in the kid's head and you can forever know where the kid is. You can monitor the kid's vital signs. So you get like this tablet and on there you can see like blood levels, cortisol levels, and also exactly what the kid is seeing. So through this one chip that goes through the temple, and you think, wow, that's so clever. But because you're watching Black Mirror, bad things are going to happen. Really bad things are going to happen. So you can actually put like a parental guidance on the child through the app. So if you don't want your child to see like pornography, hear singing, whatever, it all gets pixelated out, both in, you know, you can't audio pixel, but you know what I mean? It's just, you can't hear what it is. And this kid goes through life like it won't see this vicious dog and it won't see blood and it won't see people fighting. And it lives this sheltered childhood because of this app. And in the beginning, you thought it was like kind of cool. And then the kid sees her grandfather having a heart attack. But because the kid saw it, the mother's now looking at the screen, rushed to the hospital, saves the life. So you're thinking like, wow, this is so cool. But then the kid grows up. And then things get really, really hectic. And I'm reliving this now because this wasn't even one of the more hardcore episodes, but it was so good and it was so clever because the kid then gets a boyfriend. And then, as all teenage girls do, they lie about where they are, whose house they're staying over at. Easy, sir. And then the mother, who basically agreed to take the kid off the system because the system actually doesn't get sold anymore. It gets deemed illegal and invasive.
Oh, okay.
But then the mother finds the tablet in the attic and starts monitoring her child again.
Oh, my gosh,
again.
I can't.
You know what? I actually don't want to spoil the episode if you haven't seen it yet because it's just so good.
But I'm just getting into this whole thing and you're going
to
stop.
But this is the whole thing because as I said to you at the beginning of the week, all these episodes kind of point us towards where we're going as society and where, because obviously Black Mirror, you look at a screen, it's a Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And smart.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got that long ago.
Oh, bye, show off.
So it all points us towards where we're going as society and how the episode ends. Again, like I feel like I can never tell you how the episode of Black Mirror ends because it's always just never going to do it justice. But so, so hectic and so close to home, and how parents are overprotective because that's just the way they are nowadays because that's just a generational thing, whatever. But the episode ends in such a weird and kind of haunting way, like they all do. And I watched this, and we're like, okay, well, maybe we should watch one episode a week because this is quite hectic. So then we watch The Crown, which is kind of
just
like
something you need to mellow out. You need
so then last night we thought, well, let's just watch one more episode of Black Mirror because The Crown was a bit soft. This episode last night, wow. Let me just tell you one thing. I'm happy I have creaky stairs in our apartment.
Oh, no.
Because if we had quiet stairs, I would not have been able to sleep last night.
Ben, are saying this as a 36-year-old, sound, reasonable, fully grown, well-rounded adult.
And nothing really shocks me in life. I've done a variety of weird things, and nothing really ever shocks me. This program
scares you.
Like, my girlfriend and I actually went into an awkward, unwilling embrace last night out of sheer fear and uncertainty for our lives.
Oh man,
who is behind this? I'm trying to look at
the writer. This is the beautiful thing about this. It's one guy who writes it, so they get a variety of producers and directors and things, but every single episode is basically written by this one guy.
Is it one writer?
Charlie Brooker. Oh no, he needs psychiatric
Charlie Brooker. He's got he's got a history of this kind of stuff. But if
writing this kind of stuff.
Well, if this is what I think, right? So if I'm feeling this while watching this, what does he go through to conceive such ideas? Does he ever sleep? What's in his head? Should he be examined?
How did he create that?
Because he's a genius, first off, because every episode of Black Mirror is a new story. It's a new kind of mini feature.
Yeah.
And the fact that all of them, I think bar maybe one or two that were kind of weak but still entertaining, they all have an original or some sort of spin on life that makes you think. Now, when you watch certain shows, like the best series or whatever it is, they all get to a point where they plateau a bit, or you feel like you've seen this episode somewhere else. But with this, it's just a straight up new smack on the side of the head.
Oh no, I'm so freaked out now.
So I feel better. If that was boring for you, I'm sorry, but I feel better that I've spoken about it.
Do you know what's so weird about Black Mirror? I'm looking at its picture grain, and it doesn't look as scary as what, like the grain of the picture. I'm like, it doesn't look scary. And then like the way you talk about it, I'm like, it's a bit.
But this thing about the show gets into your head.
Oh.
I think that's probably the best way of describing what the show is, because if you were to And that's why I don't like to talk about the full things, because I can tell you a story and you'll be like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's kind of hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you watch it and the show is in your head. It's like it's pushing buttons and it's making you feel things that no other show can make you feel.
See, that's my thing, and that's why I'm very selective and particular about what I watch. Because life is already hard, guys. And like,
you don't add to it.
I'm already dealing with a lot. I don't want to mind flip myself even more.
That's your approach to life.
Yes.
Like, I want to know I can adapt to any situation in life, and I feel I am quite durable. But that's because I challenge my mind a lot, and I challenge my ideas and things like that.
Then you need therapy at the end of the evening.
No, you don't, because you find a way of accepting things and adapting to it.
Oh, wow. I think I'm on Sia's side with this one. I'm okay. Yeah. I'm okay.
But that's great, guys.
Have you watched Supernatural? It sounds a bit like Supernatural, this Black Mirror.
And I've never watched Supernatural. What's it about?
That one was scary. That one was like a horror movie. I actually used to like that one.
What is it about?
It's scary stuff, like spooky stuff.
See, I don't quite relate to that, because it's this leap from everyday life to the parallel universes. Oh, okay. Like, for me, that's more comedy. That's why Rick and Morty is so good. But whereas Black Mirror, everything is human engineered, human executed, and followed through, whatever.
Okay.
No, thanks, guys. I feel better now. Because...
What did Modern Family do to you guys? A nice little hearty 24-minute comedy. You know, you laugh a bit, family. You smile, you call it a day, and that's it. Yeah.
I watch that.
I also like that. I watch a lot, too.
The most extreme thing that I watch is like a good Shonda Rhimes drama series. And so I'm currently hooked on How to Get Away with Murder.
Okay.
Yeah, I went through that, but then it just became too American. It's just so like...
What do you mean? Like too plot twisty? Too...
A little bit too much angst with those actresses and actors, and it's just a little bit too much drama, and like, you guys are making your lives complicated on purpose.
That's what I'm there for, because really...
No, because that's exactly what the show is. Yeah. Like, you know what you're getting into.
If we just had to be honest, it's like, well, the premise is these college students who are studying law, and they happen to kill someone in the first season. It's like, well, just leave the damn college. Or then just stop being friends with these people. That's how you won't end up in trouble. But
if you're into strange and twisted murders, then this third episode of season 4 of Black Mirror. You've actually got to watch it.
I take it back. Don't watch it. I'm good with my How to Get Away with Murder.
Don't watch it. I can say this much. Don't watch it. There was one of those kids, or maybe three of those kids from your complex, will go missing. Not because you're a bad person.
But why? Because it will get into my head and then I'll try to kill kids?
That's what...
No.
Don't watch the episode.
It sounds like it. I actually want to watch it now. I think I'm so intrigued with this Black Mirror.
Yeah, well, okay, don't start with the episode I just watched. You got to ease into it.
I must start from season one, or should I just go straight into season...
I think like with all shows... The show finds its feet and it finds its thing. So although they're all unique episodes, they definitely get better as it goes along, because I think they become sort of slicker with how they deliver the suspense and how they deliver the twists and that kind of stuff.
Okay, Ben. And then I'm going to tell you how I found it. I'm going to start watching it.
But that's another thing I love about the show, people's reactions, because we all have levels where we feel comfortable or where we're okay with our minds being stretched.
Yeah.
This show doesn't care about you. But That's why I love the reactions. Like, I'll talk about the show with anybody who's seen it, and it's a half-hour conversation.
Yeah.
It just is.
Doesn't it make you lose faith in humanity, though?
To a degree.
Oh, my God.
To a degree.
That's also another concern. It makes
me lose faith in future humanity, because we normally take the easy road with things, and we forget about the consequences. And this is what the show always reminds you, is that even though we're flying at a million miles an hour with technology and conveniences or whatever, there's always a consequence, and this is what the show not so subtly kind of pokes you with.
You see,
I should work for Netflix. I'll just be the PR guy.
You should.
TV show hype man.
You should
fly to various scenarios where I'll pose things to you.
Netflix has great other varieties as well, Ben.
I know they just got Friends. The whole Friends is on there.
There we go.
Nice.
Let's not plug them.
Oh, is that going to be your new thing now? Watch Friends.
I've already seen Friends. Six in the City. Friends is like that background show where you're getting ready or whatever. It's just always on.
I just never found it funny, but maybe I'm not the target market. I don't know.
When it came out, it's essentially a 90s show.
It is.
Which is funny, because obviously you see the fashion. the fact that Rachel's hair was a big deal.
I heard people, women in America would want to go to hair salons and get the Rachel. Yeah.
But speaking of therapy, have you noticed how Jennifer Aniston's movies are all the same? I mean, I know you get types in Hollywood, typecasting.
Yeah.
But every single one of her movies, she's the jilted lover.
But didn't we sort of touch on this last year? Because, guys, I don't think she can do anything else.
See, we did. Can. Yeah, but guys, I thought she'd maybe done 5 or 6 and she had a bit part here and there. Turns out every single movie and the other ones keep popping up. And you see her and you go, oh my gosh, she's in that movie where someone broke her heart. You watch the first 10 minutes. Yeah. Oh, it's happening again.
That's it. Or like she's moving back to she's moving back to a small town because, you know, the big city life and she's had a breakup and
even when she's a parent in a movie, it's still kind of the same plot.
A single
There's
mother.
No dad.
Yeah. It's her, it's Jennifer Lopez and
J-Lo.
Because they just J-Lo. Can't do anything else though.
No, but also don't you find like is it then society or Hollywood to decide that the only movies that we really like involving women have heartbreaking narratives?
Oh, Hollywood.
Isn't that like also something that maybe is coming out here?
No.
It depends.
Okay, partially.
Because even Jennifer Lawrence, she's Katniss or whatever.
Hunger Games girl.
I mean, there's a genuine heartbreak story. Didn't she have to eat her sister or something?
When?
No, she had... No, she did not.
What are you saying?
And I've watched all of the Hunger Games. Okay. I'm a Hunger Games.
In real life or in a movie somewhere? What are you saying?
What she doesn't know in time is her own thing.
But what Ben is saying is kind of true because we've only seen a different narrative in the last 5 years of women in Hollywood. Mm. They've started evolving. And it came also with strong female writers that women have started actually having proper lead roles where men are not involved in their plots. So it's if you watch... Pre, like, 2005 even actually after that, women have always had the same storyline and they've always had a male who has been a stronger character than them coming to save them. Even if you have a woman who's lead, there's a man to kind of attribute to that power.
To her direction of flow. Which, I mean, society is structured in the way that's, you know, obviously... None of us are born yesterday. There is a stronger role for men throughout society, whether it be in the workplace or family, the whole traditional breadwinner, that kind of stuff. But yeah, like maybe that's just Jennifer Aniston's lot. It's not just her, it's mostly
female characters.
It's female
characters.
And if you're a big star, you will play that role over and over.
I get what you two are saying, but also at the end of the day, J-Lo and Jennifer Aniston still have a responsibility. They get handed the offer, they get handed a contract, and they have the deciding power on whether they'll sign it or not. So if it was not to their liking and they don't approve of it, they could, you know, start their own production company. They have the clout to do so, and they could focus on creating empowering female stories.
Has there been a female who's created their own production company in history? So far.
Yes, Oprah.
but
also with that, remember they started...
Thank you for handing me that one. I was about to hit it out of the park.
But you must remember when they started, there weren't any strong females in the industry. And for them, it was about making money.
They had Angelina Jolie was doing the Lara Croft movies in the late 1990s, early 2000s.
Angelina always had a male co-star that was always there.
Lara Croft was a female-led movie.
Well, I mean, obviously, like the whole superhero action figure genre pulled that in a bit, sure, because that gave them something. Although Charlie's Angel, I found, was nothing more than patronizing.
Charlie's Angel was nothing on women's empowerment.
Besides, you make a good point. It's like... This is the whole thing about Hollywood, and we've been trying to say positive things about Hollywood the last few days, not just about sex offense. But it comes down to like women writers, women directors, women producers, because that's what creates the ecosystem of balance.
Because we've only started having really strong female writers recently. So that's why now you see a shift in female roles in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, if you look at someone like Tina Fey and what she's gone through to get to where she is, she's created her niche, but she's had to use comedy. But like Mean Girls was a huge movie for not just her, and people call it a cult classic. I think it's a huge mainstream hit for what it did.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's depicting life, and she said it's so difficult for women because they have to be one of two things. And it's cool. Like, again... It's just real life must come out the whole time. It can't always just be, and that's how it ended.
Well, see, that's why I don't want to sound like one of those artsy fartsy pushing an agenda people, but this is why words like diversity, or this is why words like representation matter, and in any sphere, because whoever you are, all you just want to see and experience at the end of the day, I believe the common denominator is you just want to find out that, oh, there's someone else who's just like me, or there's someone else who went through this as well, and I'm not alone. And so in whatever it is, whether you are in a wheelchair and you just want to see a person who's in a wheelchair but happens to be successful and happens to also go down to the bar on a Friday afternoon and have a drink and just lead a normal life, or whether you are obese, or whether you are gay, or whether you are black, whatever the case is. And this is like, that's why it annoys me
at the moment. Society, remember, when you create a movie or you create something, it's about who are you targeting, and you also have to take in consideration what your society is. Unfortunately, we live in a patriarchal society, and when you portray women in an idea that society doesn't agree with, including women, because women are actually some of the biggest feeders of patriarchy, it won't sell. And that's, we've seen that, that when you create a movie that's all about women empowerment, it's got less sales than one that shows males as, you know, the heroes. Or,
but I don't think it has to be about a feminist woman burning bras down the street thing.
Feminism is not about just women burning bras.
No, but I'm just saying it doesn't have to.
These are typical guys.
What I'm saying is, there doesn't have to be another full-length feature film made about that. But just to be able to say, actually, no, there can be a Jennifer Aniston character, and she's happily single. Or she's happily, and she's happily single and has a child, and she's not looking for a spouse. And actually, the plot line is rather about how funny it is that she's starting a new job and she hates everyone around it.
Yeah.
How about we just shift the perspective a bit?
It is, but it takes... It takes balls. It takes a bit of a risk. From
it's a big risk from
these production houses, because they know if they're going to invest, I don't know, say 100 million into a movie, they don't want to know that it might make 60. Or, you know, it's
that's,
like if,
that, and that's the cases. That's what's happening.
It's always what happens. It's everyone has great ideas, risk. But business, it's like if you're in a creative space, in the creative world, you know, you got great ideas, but your client's like, I absolutely love all of that, but I don't want to use it because
it won't sell.
I'm not sure it'll work.
It really, this, in my head, I'm already thinking this is a dramatic analogy to use. So pardon me, I'm really not trying to be distasteful. But that's just like saying, Nelson Mandela saying, oh, you know what? Oh, you know, marching now is going to be such a big risk. I'm going to get blisters on my feet. So let me just sit down and I'll go with the flow and things will be as they are. No, well, you have to take some risk to afford proper change.
But it depends who you are.
Everyone must have a bit of Mandela in them.
That's why I say, if it takes female writers. You know, Oprah is doing a lot of that right now, where she's changing the space, and Tyler Perry as well.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, I can harp on about Oprah every day, but there are many other people who are doing amazing things as well, in a big and a small scale as well.
But they all, you remember, they always take calculated risks. It's all about calculated risk, and also how they package it. For instance, if you look at Black-ish, that is a groundbreaking comedy, but they package it in such a way that it won't really be offensive to non-black people, because they have to also sell it in commercial mainstream.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I think you also have to understand where you are on the greatest scale of change in any case. But yeah. Anyway, folks, we are here. This morning. My goodness. If you also want to share your opinions with us, feel free to tweet us at cliffcentral.com. Call us 0861-555-189. You can also text us on WhatsApp 079-748-2090, or send us a message on our WeChat official account. Someone here on WeChat, on WhatsApp, who did not leave their name, said, there's an episode I think C and Sanazo will like. It's called San Jupero from season 3. Great love story. It's an episode of Black Mirror.
I think that's one of two episodes in the whole show that has a happy ending. It's shot in Cape Town.
And
that's the thing. I actually just thought about this now. Black Mirror's got a lot of interesting female characters. Probably more. It's a lot more female dominant than male. That episode is about two women. Last night's episode, That woman, she turned it up. That's another thing about the show, maybe, that I find so unique. Like, the best characters, the most dominant characters, the most frequent characters are actually women, I think.
See, but, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm not saying this because I'm a feminist. I'm saying this because I like things to be different, unique, and challenging. Because then I think we always create new things.
Yeah. Well, this is what this is the point I hope all of us reach one day, is that it doesn't even matter who's in it or what's it about. It's just,
but you watch a movie different stuff it's a good all movie. Time.
Yeah.
But Joe, you guys probably would love that episode. It's very different.
Which season was it?
I think it was in season two. Yeah.
Season three.
According
to this message.
Okay.
Okay. Folks, let's get into the five things you need to know this morning. These are the five things, the news stories, the water tower, water cooler conversations that you can have around the office. And it's all brought to you by Calcacchio Pizzeria, our great friends at Calcacchio. Look, if you're looking for anything to do this weekend, this actually might be your pit stop, your one-stop pit stop for absolute awesome pizza. And it's just a great vibe whenever you're at any of their branches at Calcacchio. It's an awesome, awesome atmosphere. And may I also say, one of the things that I don't think we highlight enough on the show is Calcacchio's great wine selection and fantastic dessert selection. So,
Ben, yeah, spot on.
Yeah, you're all about the thin pizza. I'm all about the wine and the desserts, but they are the people who make five things you need to know this morning possible. So let's get straight into it. The first thing you need to know this morning, as much as Cape Town is battling with the water crisis, there also seems to be another political crisis that's looming, and that is a City of Cape Town Mayor Patricia de Lille has until the end of today to make submissions explaining why she should not resign. So last month, News24 reported that the DA had extended the time for her to respond and gave her until January the 5th to make submissions. So de Lille was suspended from all party activities in mid-December after a report by a subcommittee headed by the DA Chief Whip, John Steenhuisen, was adopted by the DA's Federal Council. Now, it is believed that findings in the report include serious allegations of maladministration by de Lille. In 2017, de Lille came under fire several times as it emerged that she and other colleagues did not see eye to eye. In September, it emerged that de Lille ordered the shutting down of the city's special investigation unit. Now, this move resulted in a spat between her and mayoral committee member for safety, security, and social services, JP Smith, who had overseen the unit. An affidavit by the executive director in de Lille's office, Craig Kesson, also painted her in a bad light. In it, he alleged that she had planned to publicly discredit a senior city staffer who questioned alleged tender irregularities. So, geez, okay.
The de Lille thing.
City of Cape Town is kind of lit right now. I did not expect this.
There's a lot of pressure on them because of the whole water thing, exasperating the other issues.
Well, yeah, I feel like maybe I was out of this loop, but I did not know much about this de Lille situation up until now, so...
I have my opinion about the situation.
Of course you do.
I'm actually really relieved because I don't think Sia or I do.
Yeah, I thought, no, but sure, the floor's yours.
No, really. But it's a very short observation. Mm-hmm. De Lille is in the middle of this whole situation where she was suspended from party activities for mismanagement of funds. And, you know, there's a whole case around her.
Okay.
But my problem is this. De Lille is not the first person in the DA to be found off meddling in corruption. But Helen Ziller, if you know, last year, was caught with her hand in the cookie jar with the whole Gupta thing. But she wasn't suspended. She had to just go apologize and, you know, the case was swept under the rug.
Yeah.
Right? DA has a lot of issues where things are just quick. That's why I said I love their PR.
Are you saying they've got a lumpy rug?
They've got they've got tears in their rugs. Okay.
Ooh.
That's as far as I will go. Because DA has a lot of problems. And, you know, there was infighting last year where there was quite a lot of racism, especially I know in the Eastern Cape, they had a lot of these issues. But they quickly sweep those under the rugs. No one gets suspended from that. De Lille comes out and has this. I'm not saying it's right. what she did was wrong. But I think everyone must be treated the same in the DA. And there's a problem of people not being treated the same in the DA. And for me, I think if they're going to give that type of sentence to DeLille to say, no, you're suspended from the party, anyone who is in violation of party rules, including Helen Zille, should be suspended. If DeLille gets suspended, Helen should get suspended. Van Damme also had a situation where she spoke out of term in the DA. No, it wasn't Van Damme. It was the little girl, the one who heads the DA youth. She's pretty. What's her name? Nduli.
Mbali Nduli.
She got a very heavy, you know, backlash from the party. But you see people, older men in the DA who do what Mbali did, because Mbali came out and say, no, you know, there was some racism in the DA and I felt it as a young
person.
Was
this the Facebook comment?
It was the Facebook, but it wasn't also Facebook because she did it publicly as well. But there was these such harsh, sentences towards certain types of people in the DA.
So you feel like there should be
It should be standard. Yeah. If you're going to say Mbali is going to get this type of punishment, a person who does the same thing must have the same type of a punishment. It was a big deal in the Nelson Mandela Bay where there was actual allegations and there was infighting in the organization, but nothing ever happened. It was quickly swept under the rug.
Got
Helen Zille, Gupta's, no suspension, I apologize. Helen Zille came out with those tweets, apologize, absolutely nothing happens. If you're going to say Mbali went on social media, Helen went on her social media, can we have the same type of punishment for everyone who does a similar crime?
Well, going back to our political basics from the week.
There we go.
Consistency and punishment.
There we go.
Exactly.
All right, second story you need to know this morning in the five things that you need to know. I'm excited for this because I think this is where I find my rich husband.
Okay.
But the election of Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa as ANC president will likely have a positive impact on the confidence of South Africa's luxury property buyers. Now, this is according to Rory O'Hagan, who's the CEO of the Luxury Portfolio Division at Chas Everett International. Now, in his view, this would likely be the case, especially in Johannesburg, folks, where the luxury property sector is dominated by South African and African buyers seeking primary residence or secondary homes that are used for businesses rather than holiday purposes. So with Johannesburg being the financial capital of Africa, there's generally no real shortage of luxury buyers in Johannesburg, but they have been holding back over the past few months in the sense that they have been reluctant to spend more than about 10 million to 15 million rands, depending on the outcome of the ANC conference, Rory went on to explain. However, the orderly nature of the conference and the election of Mr. Ramaphosa as the new ANC president seem to have broken the logjam and have already received a flood of inquiries just in the past few days, get this, for homes in the 20 million to 30 million rands range. Hella freaking Luya.
Yeah.
I need to hang out with this Rory guy. I need to find out who these buyers are. And I love it when they start saying, you know, economic crisis, we're going through a lot, and there's still people who want to buy 30 million rand homes. So aren't we excited about this? We get more people spending money.
I think you're more excited about this than y'all, most other people are.
Y'all, these are my friends who I'm going to have. Third story you need to know this morning in the five things that you need to know. Now, it could take months to determine the cause of a plane crash in Costa Rica that killed 12 people because the aircraft was badly burned and lacked a flight data recorder, the director of the country's civil aviation agency told reporters yesterday. Ineo Subilo also said that experts from the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board came to Costa Rica on Thursday to assist with the investigation, along with staff from the Federal Aviation Administration, which made the plane. He added that experts are analyzing weather conditions at the time of the crash last Sunday, as well as possible mechanical failures and human error. In a quote, he explains it doesn't necessarily have to be a single cause. This could take several months. This accident in Costa Rica took place near the Punta Islita beach town, which is about 230 kilometers west of the capital of San Jose. Now, because because Punta Eslita's small airfield lacks a control tower, the plane's status at the time of the crash was unknown. It was not required to carry a black box flight data recorder because it had fewer than 19 passengers. In this crash, 10 U.S. citizens and 2 Costa Rican pilots, both of whom were experienced flyers, died in the incident. The U.S. victims included a family of 5 from New York. So that's quite unfortunate to, end off and begin the year like this, rather. Sticking and coming back to Africa, rather, Boko Haram is back in the news. At least 30 loggers have been abducted in the Borno state by Boko Haram near the Cameroon border. The group of men had left for the Wolgo village in the Borno state to collect wood early on Tuesday when they came under attack. The woodcutters, who are mostly in their 20s, had left the town of Gamburu on the border with Cameroon on Tuesday morning to fetch firewood in a Boko Haram hotspot. The kidnapping took place barely a month after 30 troops vanished following a raid on a military base in the same region amid a surge in bloody violence. 2 weeks ago, Boko Haram gunmen shot dead 10 loggers from Gamboro in the bush outside Wolgo while collecting firewood. Boko Haram, do you basically stop at nothing?
No. You know, it seems like they've made great strides with ISIS in this whole last couple of years. And Iraq, there's been some great battles, but this Boko Haram seems to be a real threat.
Like initially,
it really is growing, and they stop at nothing.
Yeah, initially I thought they had some justifications to what they were doing. Like, we kidnap girls because we don't believe girls deserve education. Now, what are they going to say? Pardon?
Can you repeat that for me?
I mean, they had justification in inverted commas to what they were doing.
Well, they had a motive for being dickheads, basically.
So they were like, oh, we kidnap girls because we don't believe girls deserve education. Oh. Great. So now you're just kidnapping guys who were out trying to get some wood in the forest because why?
But that's like the terrorism handbook, is you creating terror.
Yeah. But do you know what my thing is with Boko Haram? The AU, which we have
set off the fire alarms, yes, girl.
It is, I think, not, I'm not going to say it's a useless organization, but it really does nothing for the continent. You know, when we have...
Oh, it's like a watered-down version of the UN almost, and what they do.
Watered-down is respectfully putting it. Like, you're giving it more credit than it should. Uh-huh. Like, it's a mud down. It's a mud down, because honestly it's the same thing with the slavery in Libya. No one came out from the AU immediately when that came out, the story came out. I followed it to make sure that I wasn't seeing things.
That's a good point. I didn't actually hear anything about that.
No, they didn't. And it went on to the UN to talk. They talked about it just slightly, though, as well. Then they,
I mean, it's slavery. It's not a spot of primary school bullying. This is slavery. And in 2017, 2018.
No one is doing anything. The AU keeps quiet on matters that are so vital. And even if you ask now, what is the AU doing? No one knows. They say, mediation for who, for what? Because we haven't seen anything they've done. Boko Haram was an issue. It's not a new issue. The AU should have clamped down on it by now.
Exactly. Bring back our girls.
Started that, by the way. Not even they started that.
The AU can't even start a hashtag.
And we say, Nkosi Zanazuma, she was the chairperson. She was good. We didn't hear her say anything really about these issues. So the AU, honestly, I think is lagging behind on issues of Africa. And Boko Haram knows that absolutely no one's going to do anything about this, because the UN honestly doesn't care that much about Africa, just the resources. AU is supposed to be taking care of African issues and African people.
Mm-hmm.
They do absolutely,
or at least being aware of them.
Be aware of them. At least write something about it. Like
a statement.
Is that too much? Don't wait for someone to start a hashtag. Bring back our boys now. It's really ridiculous to think that we've got these bodies, but they do absolutely nothing for the people.
They're great on paper. Is that what you're saying?
It's a great CV for her. Absolutely nothing she did. What did she do in her 5 years, in her 4 years at the AU? Absolutely nothing. They just wrote very nice articles about her.
Snap. Well, sticking with Africa, and maybe someone here you go, Snaz, or someone who's actually doing something for Africa. And the final story that you need to know this morning, the five things that you need to know, Madonna. She's announced plans to build 4 new schools in Malawi in 2018, as she asks her fans to be the change they want to see, she says. The 59-year-old singer has taken to Instagram to reveal her plans to bring education to thousands more Malawian children, as her charity, Raising Malawi, will be teaming up with Build On to build 4 more schools in the area, bringing their total to 14. Madonna also called on her followers to be the change they want to see in the world, as she posted an adorable picture of herself with a group of Malawian children on the site on Thursday. She wrote, "Let's start 2018 off right. I'm challenging you all to stand up, come together, and be the change you want to see in the world. This year, we'll begin by building 4 brand new schools in the Kasunga district of Malawi, with at Raising Malawi and at Build On. That's 14 schools in total that will help thousands of kids get the education they rightfully deserve." So Madonna, along with opening all of these schools, has actually also adopted her children, 12-year-old David, 11-year-old Mercy, and 5-year-old twins Stella and Esther, from the African country, which she has been visiting since 2006 when she first set up her charity, which aims to help with the health and education system in the area. Huh. Madonna. Lovely. There we go.
Madonna for president.
Well, I don't exactly know if I want her for president, but at least
she's
doing
much more.
She's doing some good out there. She's
doing a lot of good.
Yeah. She's been involved
in Malawi for a long time now. I follow also her what she's been doing for the country.
Uh-huh.
Because she's not just involved with just the kids, but she's also involved in other aspects of Malawi. Also with, you remember they had the whole mosquitoes, malaria pandemic.
Uh-huh.
Madonna is also involved in that as well.
14 schools, that's amazing.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
She's really doing great work.
Yeah, kudos on her. All right, let us move on with the show. Ben, before we get to sports, can we have our crypto update, please?
Yes, yeah, again, Ethereum is the one to back right now. It's almost like a horse update. Nice. Ethereum is coming strong on the outside. Bitcoin is faltering in the middle. And Ethereum...
Get your bits ready.
Yeah, because in the last week, it's almost 30%, yeah. Now, that is a good rise, and it really is a good rise. Coming off a lower base, but yeah, up 30%. Ethereum is just approaching 13,500 Rand for an Ether. Bitcoin, on the other hand, well, it seems to just be... It's kind of like, at the moment, it's like a pop star everyone's forgot about and just languishing. It's fine. It's still comfortable. It's still got money, but it's not really doing anything amazing. So it's over the 200,000 Rand mark and currently is 2% down on the last week.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Ben.
You're welcome.
And then just time for sports. It is brought to you by the Range Rover Velar. Do your kids not find you cool anymore? Sadly so. Well, the new Range Rover Velar from Menlyn Land Rover will quickly change that. With its head-turning elegant design, its luxurious interior, sophisticated technology, and all-road performance, the Range Rover Velar is the first of its kind. Be one of the first to experience the car that will take you anywhere and everywhere with consummate ease by visiting menlyn.landrover.co.za or give them a call on 012-369-2400 to arrange a test drive. Better yet, head on down to the new improved Land Rover Menlyn, located at 221 Grasfontein Road, just off the N1 highway in Menlyn. Oh, what a classy
it's
way to
Grasfontein,
start.
Not Grasfontein.
Is it Gras?
That is nie Gras nie.
Oh, daar is geen R in die woord. Dis wat? Gras. Nee.
Is it in Grasfontein? Grasfontein.
Nee, fuck man. Patricia Lewis didn't teach me how to frickin' pronounce die word. Anyway, are you ready for the sport?
Yeah.
Let's get straight into it.
See, you turn it down there. That's where you turn it down.
Oh, I need to wait for the drop.
You gotta wait for the drop. Okay. That's what it is.
Sorry, DJ Ben.
All right, so we've got a big weekend of sport. The first weekend of 2018, and the big highlight is, of course, SA versus India in the Test Match Series. Now, as we all know, the last time these two teams came together in the Test Series, South Africa got absolutely dicked in India. It was 2015. It was dreadful. It was just horrible. There were those dreadful, dusty pitches where India were like, no, it's fair, but let's open the bowling with a spinner and basically just bowl spin for 4 days, 3 days, and you will just lose terribly. But whole different kettle of fish, curry, burgers, hot dogs, whatever you want to call it, because they're playing in South Africa this time around. So 10:30 today at the beautiful Newlands, South Africa's second best ground for a cricket perspective, that is where this game is going to take place. South Africa will have a full strength team. All the players are vying for the starting 11. But a difficult position that the coach and captain is, Faf du Plessis said, this is probably the hardest selection moment of his career for the Proteas, because, well, they could probably play four or five different combinations depending on conditions right now. And, well, India, they've also got a full-strength team, which is basically Virat Kohli and a whole bunch of other guys. So, will Maharaj play? Will there be four seamers? Will there be three seamers? All will be revealed 10:30 South African time this morning. In the Ashes, well, England are... Well, they just failed to kick on, like England always do. Root didn't capitalize on a good start, and then the tail tried very hard, but ultimately... they had a very disappointing 346 all out. Australia in response are 116 for 2, which is pretty good. Steve Smith, who is the greatest batsman in the entire world, universe, planet, everything, he's carried on 8. And Usman Khawaja, who no one seems to like in Australia. I don't know why. This guy's pretty solid. He's on the 50 at the moment, so that's 116 for 2. In other news, see a big night for football last night because it was the CAF Awards. So that basically honours, celebrates and congratulates all the massive African performers in the game, of which there are many. And if you look at just Liverpool right now, Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane, there's some really great players. You know, obviously Senegal and Egypt are both going to the World Cup, which starts in June. And Salah was the actual African Player of the Year. So a huge award for him. Women's Player of the Year, Asisat Osolo. She, a Nigerian star who plays in China. There's a women's league in China.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Do they get money for this? Like, what do they get along with winning?
Of course they get money, Sia. Oh, okay. They're professional sports people.
No, gosh, I mean, a grand prize.
You say really inappropriate things from time to time. But another big award from the South African perspective was that Banyana Banyana was the women's national team of the year on the African continent. Egypt, of course, claimed that prize in the men's side. So, pretty decent showing that it really was.
Shouldn't we be making more of a fuss about that? That's massive.
Well, I'm trying to, but you're being all sexist about women playing for like boiled sweets and
banana,
teddy bears.
Banana, yeah. What we know, nah.
Speculation of whether Jose Mourinho will stay at Man United or he'll suddenly just leave. This is the whole thing about English Premier League. There's always going to be some sort of soap opera in the background. Jose, well, he just says it is garbage. Or it's garbage. That's what he said to these rumours. Stuffing them out.
There.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jose's got like this Russian slash. Because you know he speaks like five languages. He started out as an interpreter. That's how he got into football. Because he wanted to be a coach, whatever, whatever. And he found his way, his leg up was being an interpreter. He speaks like all the European languages, essentially.
It is garbage.
Yeah.
No.
Slightly less Italian, but you know where I'm going with
this.
So he is keen to stay on and stay on his shell. Because tonight in the FA Cup, Man United will take on Derby at 8 o'clock. And prior to that, Liverpool will be taking on Everton. So those are your big FA Cup fixtures tonight. Liverpool will be without the best player in Africa, Mohamed Salah, and will be without Coutinho as well, the Brazilian superstar. So that's two out of your three strike force just gone. Bad news in the Australian Open. Serena Williams has pulled out. She said right from the start that she will only go back to tennis if she can go all the way, and she feels she's just not there just yet. Like, she can compete, and she will still open a whole bunch of whoop-ass on a whole bunch of the other girls she's playing against. But as a true professional and champion that she is, she's like, look, I want to know that I can win every tournament that I play. I'm just not there yet. Andy Murray, he's also pulled out. That hip injury that he's had for the last, well, year, basically. Just hasn't got back from it. And Kaylee Shikori. So there you've got three massive superstars of the game, both sides of the draw, and they're out. In other news of golfing nature, it is the big... these names always change. It's the Century Tournament of Champions. That's being played in Kapalua, Hawaii right now. So if you won on the PGA Tour last season, you get to play in this select... really exclusive field where everyone is just so hugely rich, massively rich, so rich. See, this is where you should be, Kapalua. strutting your stuff on fairways, sashaying onto the greens.
Ooh, yes, that should be your vibe. Clutching my pearls at the thought.
The wind really picked up later on in the day, so Mark Leishman managed to hold on to a one-shot lead there. He's still 67. Brian Harman and Jonathan Vegas are one back, and Ricky Fowler, he finished really strong. I think it was like 4-under for the last five holes on 69. So, huge tournament that, and of course, it's in Hawaii, so the scenery is really beautiful. You'll see whales migrating, and it's just great. It's just beautiful, and I recommend you watch that. When you aren't watching the Proteas, stick it to India. That sounds graphic, I know, but I mean it in a cricket sense.
Okay.
More sports on India, Monday.
Isn't India like becoming like a big... Isn't this is their best side, apparently.
Well, they're ranked number one in the world in Test cricket, but favorably, I don't know. In a favorable sense, they've played a lot of the games at home. Okay. So the thing about Test cricket is that home advantage is a huge thing. It's massive. Okay. In India, the ball spins a lot. It's very slow. It's very difficult for people who like the ball coming on to adapt. So they've got great spin bowlers. Here in South Africa, the ball comes on so much faster because there's grass in the wicket and it's harder. So the ball bounces. It's a lot scarier.
Oh, okay.
So you'll see a lot of Indian batsmen going out there with a lot of padding on them. It's like a different game. So chances of South Africa winning the Test series are phenomenally good.
Okay.
Really good. Take it away. Go play in India. Roles reverse completely.
Wow. Okay.
There's your sport for today. Download the Bounce Show from yesterday. I basically preview the entire 2018 in a sporting sense. I've never prepped so much for a show in my life. It's worth
full
it.
Full hour, yeah. All
Central.com, the Bounce Show, find it.
Thank you very much, Ben. Are we ready to get happy?
Oh, yes. With happier. We're already happy.
Oh, Ben, there we go. Let's do it. Hey, it's time for Said by Sia. I think I actually found my theme music, and this might be it. Quite original, I know. But let's get straight into it. This morning, I want to give you a little story that'll really warm your heart, because this is kind of cool for a South African news story. That is, a policeman who won a 10,000 rand prize for his efforts in recovering stolen and hijacked vehicles has taken the money and, instead of actually like enjoying it, has donated the money to animals for Christmas.
Oh, I love this.
Sergeant Sean Dix from PE's K9 unit, like, congratulations to you, donated his check of 10,000 rands to his local Animal Anti-Cruelty League in PE. Great. Sergeant Dix first won the award and then went on to scoop the national award as well for 2017 and bagged a whopping 10,000 rands in prize money for his efforts. The PE K9 unit also won the Provincial Unit Award. Now, the awards committee spoke out and said that the prize was about recognition and celebrating the culmination of hard work, consistent effort, and commitment. They work closely with the South African Police Service to particularly recover stolen vehicles as well. Now, a Miss Beverly from the Animal Anti-Cruelty League expressed her gratitude and appreciation to Sergeant Dix for thinking of the animals who so much need care and treatment. She says that the money will be utilized this month when they go on a spay and dip-a-thon exercise, which will help about 300 dogs and cats. The money will assist for general examination and medicines as well. Now, meanwhile, the Deputy Provincial Commissioner of Policing, Major General Andre Swart, has also expressed his congratulations to Sergeant Dix and added that this achievement must also serve as an inspiration to other members to continue serving their communities with the skills you have been equipped with. So from all of us here, Mr. Sergeant Dix, congratulations to you. And talk about being selfless and being incredible, and also being a testament to all of us that you can just do your little change that really becomes a massive change wherever you are, with whatever you have, whenever you can. So thank you so much for making us happier this morning. And just like that, it's reached 7 o'clock. That's the first hour of the Gareth Cliff Show done on this Friday morning. Thank you for staying with us, and let's actually continue with some more fun. I have to say that this right now, as we end off the first hour, is one of my favorite songs currently. I just saw the music video for the first first time yesterday, and I'm officially a fan. I even tweeted last night. I was like, this duo is a duo I didn't know I needed to start the year off, but now that they're together and they've made a song, I'm actually happy. It's Justice Malala's favorite artist, Cardi B.
Oh, nice.
who has now teamed up with Bruno Mars in creating the Finesse remix. I'll see you just after this.
This is CliffCentral.com.